We will read the Word of God as we turn to the first book of Moses, named Genesis, chapter 18, the first 15 verses. Genesis 18, the verses 1 through 15. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abram hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make thee ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abram ran unto the herd, and fetched the calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I have a surety bear a child which I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Dear congregation of Hamilton, the text for this occasion is taken from the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter, at the beginning of verse 14. Genesis 18, at the beginning of the 14th verse, there we read the word of God as follows. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time of the Reformation, there was a great interest in the Word of God. Many people, also young people, were very happy when they could read the Bible. First, they received the New Testament in English, translated by William Tyndale, and then Tyndale began with the Old Testament, with the book of Genesis. And that book of Genesis had quite an interest, especially for young people. They were not supposed to read the Bible. And if they read it, they were in danger of taking captive and even killed if they didn't repent. But yet, especially young people, they loved to read the book of Genesis. Why? Well, there they could read for the first time the stories about Jacob and Esau. But the older people were also much interested in the story from Abraham. There they felt they could learn much from so great a man of God. Abraham was powerfully called and converted. Had a great change. Called from Ur of Chaldees. He had to leave his home and native land, and he was coming to a new country that he did not know. And he received great promises from the Lord. And one of the great promises that he received was this one, that he would become a great nation. And out of that nation, the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer would be born. And Abraham believed that promise. But that meant also that he would become a great nation, that he would be having children. And Abraham was, at that time, 75 years old, and Sarah was 65 years old. They were elderly people, and they had no children, because Sarah was barren. And now the promise came that they would have a son because they would become a great nation. And they believed that. But what happened? Nothing happened. They were married even for 10 years after the promise had come, and still there was no son. So they began to wonder. God has spoken, and they want to believe what God had spoken. But nothing happened. And at the same time, both Abraham and Sarah became older. Abraham had become 85, Sarah 75. So they wondered sometimes at the word of God. And Sarah suggested that what they were doing at that time, if a couple had no children, they would have a child with one of the maids of the slaves. And they did that too. And then the Lord said, this is not the son of the promise. And yet the Lord constantly would visit Abraham and appear to him and tell him he would become a great nation so that he would be strengthened. But it was difficult for both Abraham and Sarah. And so we come to the words of our text. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord can do that which is impossible with us, because all things are possible with God. And so this text is a divine encouragement for a tried faith. And we see in the first place a very remarkable promise. In the second place, we see a tried faith. And then in the third place, we see a divine encouragement. Abraham and Sarah were discouraged, not only because they had no children, but it seemed that the word of God did not come through. If the Lord did promise, why didn't he give? And why did they have to wait so long? But the Lord has purposes with it, and he promises something, and we plead it, and we do not have immediate answers. Sometimes there is a delay, and quite a delay. And that happens in New Testament times too. We think about the Syrophoenician woman, how she pleaded for mercy, and also for her daughter who was grievously vexed with the devil. But there it was, and he answered her not a word. He heard it immediately, and he loved her prayer, but he did not give her an immediate answer. She had to wait. And then, even the disciples said, go away. For she crieth after us. No sympathy there either. And then the Lord Jesus said, I am not sent for, but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So in other words, there is salvation, but it is not for you. How strong was their faith tried? And yet she worshipped. And then she heard that it was only for others. She said, yes, but the crumbs from the master's table are for the little dogs. And then he answered her. But there was a long delay too. And it was for her good. For it made her faith all the more desirous to be heard. And it seemed to be more precious when the Lord sometimes does not answer. Then we pray to Him, and then we pray especially for spiritual matters as salvation. Then it becomes all the more precious and all the more a wonder when it is heard later. And so here, the Lord comes to visit Abraham to strengthen his faith. And it was a very remarkable visit. For Abraham is sitting outside around noon. And then he is looking, are there any people coming around that need help? Abraham loved to do good to others. And that is what belongs to faith. A child of God, that is a true child of God, likes to be used for others and likes to be a blessing for others, especially for his loved ones and for the people of his church, but also for others. Abraham was looking to do something for strangers. And sometimes we forget that. And in the church we can forget that. People are visiting us and we look to our friends. We talk to our relatives. But we forget the strangers. But in Hebrews 13 we read, do not forget strangers to entertain them. For some have even unawares entertained angels. And so it was with Abraham. He liked to do good to others. And there were three visitors. I don't know whether Abraham immediately recognized them or not. It seemed that he soon knew, because he is addressing them as they were one person. He says, Lord, and he bows before one of them. So he sees a distinction between the one and the other. Who were they? There were three angels in the form of a man. They were so looking as if they were human beings, the angels. And the one of the angels was the Son of God, the pre-incarnate Son of God. He appeared to Abraham several times. He appeared to Jacob and wrestled with him. And he also met Joshua when Joshua was before Jericho. And here he came too. So Abraham did not expect that unexpectedly. Three visitors. Three angels in the form of a man. And that one angel was the very Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ. And so Abraham bows before that one, realizing here is a divine visit, a very remarkable visit, because the Lord knows Abraham's struggle. He knows that his faith is tried and that he is almost giving up. He needs a divine encouragement. Because now it is 25 years ago that he left his land in Ur of Chaldees. 25 years, and they have become 25 years older. Abraham is almost 100 years, and Sarah is almost 90. And then Abraham is friendly to them and he says, just stay here, I'll fetch you some water so that you can wash your feet. And he asks Sarah to get food ready and also want his servant to get a calf ready so that he can eat with them. And then the Lord is asking, where is Sarah? And Abraham says, Sarah's in the tent, getting things ready. And then he says, a year from now, I will come back here, and Sarah will have a son. This was again confirmed from above. The Lord would keep His word. Whenever the Lord has given a promise, we may have to plead for quite a while for the fulfillment of that promise. But the Lord comes in His own time. And then the wonder is all the greater when it is 30, 25 years later. And then Sarah is listening to that. And Sarah laughs. She says, shall that happen to a person that is so old as I am? And to a husband that is also old as my... And then the Lord hears that. And Sarah is rebuked. And at the same time, when she receives the rebuke, she is comforted too. The Lord will do what He has said. So that was a great wonder that they had such a visit and that they had such a great encouragement too, so that they could go on. And then a year later, the child was born. Abram, in the meantime, had a very special name too. Abraham was changed to Abraham. What does Abraham mean? Who knows? Abraham means exalted father, or father is exalted. And what does Abraham mean, the change? Abraham means father of a great multitude, or father of many nations. So it was again confirmed, you have no children now, but you will have children, and that will one day become such a great nation, there will be many nations. That is what the Lord spoke to Abraham at that time. There was a great need. And so, what did it mean that they were encouraged in this way? Why is there anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is, of course, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Why is not that? This comes in many other places in Scripture too, this same matter. We read, for instance, in Jeremiah 32, verse 17, that the Lord speaks to Jeremiah that there is nothing too hard or too wonderful for the Lord. Why not? Because He is the maker of heaven and earth. And if the Lord can make the sun, the moon, and the stars, and He can make man, then He can do everything. So it was in the days of Jeremiah. And we've seen that in various places all throughout the Old Testament, when man fell away from God in the Garden of Eden, there came a promise, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And the Savior was promised. That seemed impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. And then the Israelites go out of Egypt. They stand for great impossibilities too. Human impossibilities. They see before them a sea. Behind them they see the enemy Pharaoh, ready to destroy all of Israel. And on both sides they see the mountains, so steep that they cannot flee anywhere. Where shall they go? For the Lord opened a way where there was no way. And in the New Testament, we see that too. In the time when Christ was born, there was hardly any religion left. Some in Israel, but very few were all Pharisees and formalists, and very few truly feared the Lord. And then the Lord did a great wonder, a greater wonder than the creation of heaven and earth. He sent His Son into this world as the Redeemer from sin. He was born in lowliness and laid in the manger of Bethlehem. And the Lord showed that again. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. How can a sinner be saved? Salvation is man's greatest impossibility. We are fallen creatures, and we do not even know it. We need redemption. We need to be delivered. We are under God's displeasure by nature. We are under God's wrath by nature. And we are traveling to an undone eternity. And we are not concerned. We do not cry. We cannot think of a way of deliverance. But where there was no way, God thought of a way. He sent His Son to this world, and the Son lived a perfect life. He kept the law in a perfect way, and He died an atoning death. And if we may look at Christ by faith, we say, there is nothing and nothing too hard or too wonderful for God. Greater wonder never took place, and greater wonder never shall take place. What about when a sinner is forgiven? Is not that the greatest wonder? That is one of the greatest wonders we can experience. But there is even more. For God's children are not only forgiven, they are adopted as sons and daughters of the living God. And there is all a fruit of Christ's sacrifice. That is the greatest of all wonders. In that Christ, the Lord shows that there is nothing too hard or too wonderful for Him. And all throughout the life of Christ, we see that there are no impossibilities for Christ, the very Son of God. Lepers were healed. Lepers who no longer had any hope. There was one man who was full of leprosy. And he saw Christ. And he fell at His feet with that wonderful prayer, "If it pleases Thee, Thou canst make me clean." He saw that there was nothing too wonderful for Christ. But he also bowed before God's sovereignty. "If Thou wilt, if it pleases Thee." I've heard some ministers say, this man was unbelieving because he had an if in his faith. But this was not unbelief. This was acknowledging that God was free and sovereign, and that we do not deserve anything from His hand. And that is really grace. We use the word grace so often and understand it so little, because we like to be something, and we are by nature nothing. And we cannot make ourselves anything either. We like to be something. But it is impossible from our sides to be saved. But is there anything too hard for the Lord? He can cleanse the greatest leper. He can do the greatest wonders. He is God, and He is God alone. And not only lepers came, There were others that had other troubles. The blind were healed. And that had never happened before. Great miracles that happened in the Old Testament, in the time of Elijah and Elisha. God had done great things. Even people were raised from the dead several times. But never was there one that was as great as Christ, who opened the eyes of the blind. And no matter what their condition was, Christ has never sent one away empty. He has never said to anyone, I cannot help you. I am too weak. I cannot do this or I cannot do that. He turned them not away, but he healed them all. And there were even those who couldn't come to him. And he still could help them too. All impossibilities were taken away. There was one man who could not walk and he couldn't move his hands. He was a paralytic. So he could hear about Jesus. But he had no possibility whatsoever to come to him. And yet he was drawn to Christ. There were four friends, and they took him on a bed, and they brought him to the home where Jesus was. But that home was full, so they couldn't come in. So the friends said, we will come back later, because we cannot do anything anyhow. No, no. They went on top of the roof, and they opened the roof, and they let the blind, they let the paralytic man down at the feet of Jesus. And there he lay, as helpless as he could be. He couldn't move at all. And Jesus looked at him. And Jesus saw how sad he was. Nobody was so troubled as this man. He couldn't walk, he couldn't move his hands. But he had a grace of trouble. He was a sinner, a lost sinner, a guilty sinner, a sinner worthy of God's displeasure. And that is what Jesus saw. And he still sees that today. He is at the right hand of God the Father. And he looks here on earth. He knows that we are here in the church, here at this place. And he knows everyone that is troubled and cannot help himself. And he says also today, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anyone he cannot help? Is there any sinner lost and undone? And we sometimes say, yeah, there are some. We have given up on this one, on that one. And there is a great unbelief. We should come together and we should pray together that the Lord may still do wonders that humble us and glorify His great name. There is nobody that the Lord cannot help. But some are greater sinners than others. That is indeed true. But look in the Bible, in the Old Testament. There was a Manasseh, and for the Lord, Manasseh was not too hard or too wonderful. He served the idols. He didn't bring up his children right. He let them go through the fire for the idols, to please the idols. He was so blind. And yet the Lord brought him in distress, opened his eyes, and he became a praying beggar at the throne of God's grace, and he was heard. And in the New Testament we see it too. There is a man like Saul of Tarsus, an enemy of free grace, a persecutor of the church. Everybody in the church was afraid of that man. And yet he went from one city to the other to get people captive, to get them in trouble. Could anybody hope that Paul would change? Could anybody bring about the change? No. But God did. That was for Saul the greatest wonder he ever experienced. And he called himself later on also the chief of sinners. The Lord has no impossibilities with people. We all need Him, and we all need the wonder of His grace. But even when I think about the thief of the cross, he was a thief, a robber, and he didn't hesitate even to kill people. Was he a great sinner? We say impossible with men. But the Lord changed his heart, and He gave him a new heart, and he became a beggar for grace. Nothing. Is there anyone? You see it in the Church of Christ. There have been great sinners have been converted, and they have even become the preachers of the gospel. See how dark it was in the heart of Martin Luther. He was busy with salvation. But he also thought that it could only be through works. So he was working day and night. He was working as hard as he could. And he never got a step closer until the Lord opened his heart and saw that Martin Luther was lost and could only be saved by the blood of Christ. And so it was with many others. And so it is still today. The Lord is needed. He is needed in the wonders of His grace. And we must all want to realize the double truth. Impossible. Impossible from man's side. Altogether impossible from man's side. But the Lord can work a great wonder. And He can work it the way He pleases. We should never describe the Lord how to convert a sinner. He knows. Like no one else does know how to do it. We see that in the Bible that the Lord uses different means. And even in the same time, think about Philippi. There were two people converted. There was Lydia. And there was the Philippian jailer. And about Lydia, believed, and the Lord opened her heart. And it was opened. And Lydia was saved. And the Philippian jailer, he needed an earthquake. He didn't say simply, the Lord opened his heart. The Lord is sovereign. In the way He uses the means, but He can use the smallest means to do the greatest work. Because there is nothing too hard or too wonderful for the Lord. And there is nothing greater than what God has done in Christ. That suffering, that work of substitutionary atonement that the Lord showed, there was a righteous man without sin, without guile. And He was even the very Son of God in human nature. He lived a perfect life so that sinners might be reconciled to God. And when it was necessary that He die an atoning death, that was also done. And we can never speak too well of Christ. Especially when we meet needy sinners, we can tell them, impossible from your side. Altogether impossible. And it becomes more and more so because our sins increase, our guilt increase. But there is no one impossible for Christ. So Christ can say, today, I am here in my word. And I speak in my word, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He comes with the invitation to the sinner as a sinner. And He comes with the promise, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And He has commanded all men everywhere to turn to God to repent. There is the promise. There is the invitation. There is the command. And now comes the greatest. There is an all-sufficient Savior. Sinners who can do nothing and sinners who have nothing. Everything is in Christ. In Him there is a righteousness that atones from sin and death and hell. In Him there is a power. In Him there is an all-sufficiency. In Him there is a saving strength that can never be exhausted. And therefore, seek Him and live. For without Christ, there is no hope for any sinner, and in Him, the chief of sinners can be saved. Seek Him and live. Amen.